Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been with you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us a Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is a Father living in me who is doing the work. If you've seen me, he said to Philip, you've seen the Father. I want to start by telling a story. Now, I may have told this story maybe when I was at the camp sometime, but it just fits in with what I want to say today. This is a true story. It was about a missionary who lived many, many years ago. And this is before the Second World War. He'd been out to Africa as a missionary and to places where they hadn't even seen white people, and he'd come from the UK. And he was in Africa for close to 30 years. And he was now returning back to England, an old man. He'd lost two girls in Africa. Both died of diseases. He lost his wife in Africa. He buried his wife and his children in Africa while he was doing missionary service. And now he's an old man, and he's coming back. And he's coming back on a boat. And the boat's going to come to Southampton. It's going to dock there. And on this boat, there is a film star, a man who is a very popular film star. And everybody was all around him. But he noticed that this film star was a very nasty man. Hadn't got time for other people. He was rude. He was greedy. He just didn't have time for people. And he thought, the missionary, what a rude man he is. And yet he's a very famous man, made a lot of films. So when the boat finally arrived and docked in Southampton, the gangplank came down. No one was allowed off before this film star. And as he came down the gangplank, at the bottom were all these photographers and newsmen. Cameras were flashing to take photographs of this great film star that had arrived in England. And so he came down, everybody was cheering and waving and cameras were flashing, and off he went into the crowd. And then the people came off. And amongst the last to come off was this missionary. And he was coming down the gangplank and he was looking and he couldn't see anybody waiting for him. There was no cameras flashing for him. There was no people to wave him in. And as he was coming down, he started to feel really sorry for himself. He says, Lord, for 30 years I've served you in Africa. I buried my wife. I buried my daughters in Africa. 30 years I've served you, given everything I have for you. And I'm coming home, coming back down here, and there's nobody to greet me. There's nobody to welcome me. So he was really feeling sorry for himself. And about halfway, this is a true story, about halfway down the gangplank as he was there, suddenly the Spirit of God came on him. And he really felt the Spirit of the Lord say to him in a very clear voice, son, you're not home yet. You're not home yet. He'd come to England, but he wasn't home. There's going to be a welcome for him, but it isn't in this life. It's in the one to come. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus says, in my Father's house, on many mansions. I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back, take you to be with me, and what a welcome that's going to be. We've just moved into a new home. We've been married 54 years. Long time. I reckon I deserve a medal. But I think my wife deserves one as big as a dustbin lid for being married to me for that long. In the 54 years we've been married, we have moved home 18 times. So this is our 18th home that we've just moved into. How many of you know I'm not home? Each time I've moved in, I've said, this is the last move we're making. Julie, they're going to have to carry us out here in a box, but we keep moving. But one day, we will move to our home. Amen. Never to move again. The best of all, the best welcome will be there, and we will really, truly feel at home. I love Australia, by the way. I come from England, as you know, but I love Australia, and we've made this our adopted home. We love it. We're Aussies. You could tell by the accent. I'm an Aussie. And we just love Australia. And there's a sense in which it's our home. But there's another sense in which it's not our home. Because we're not here forever. We are not here to stay. We live in a troubled world, but we're destined for a better place. Hallelujah. Let me just say that again to encourage you. I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about you as well if you're Christian. We live in a troubled world, but we're destined for a better place. See, this is not your home. This life is not our destiny. It is our journey. If you're born again, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you are a Christian, I want to tell you, this is not your destiny. This is a journey, and only a journey, and we're traveling through to a far better place. The world is troubled. The world is unhappy. The world is insecure. The world is greedy, violent, and evil. If we make this world our destiny, we will only be troubled with it. A lot of people think this world is their destiny. This is it. This is all there is. There's nothing else. This is it. You know, we came from nothing and we're going to go to nothing. A lot of people believe that. I feel sorry for them believing that. In fact, if I did not believe in God and I thought this was all that there was, I would think that it stinks. What is life about if there's nothing else? It can be the most unhappiest, hurtful, painful, lonely place to be in. As we talk, we're relatively comfortable in Australia, but the world is troubled. Millions are dying of disease and sickness, of starvation, of war, violence. It's a troubled world, and our own society is a troubled society. If this is all there is, then you're going to be troubled along with it. But I thank God that I believe in something better. By the way, since I was with you last, I've had a revelation. I've become an evolutionist. I was talking to somebody the other day, and the person says to me, "Are you an evolutionist?" I says, "Yes, I am. I believe that Eve is the mother of all living." Evolutionist. Let it sink in. Let it sink in. We know that we're going to a far better place than this. Does that gladden your heart? Are you glad that this isn't all that there is? You know, if you fail those exams, it doesn't matter. You're not here to stay anyway. If you didn't marry the guy that you really wanted to marry, girls, it doesn't matter. You're not here to stay anyway. Whatever happens to us here, it is only momentary. It is just fleeting by, because our destiny is in heaven. Hallelujah. And if you don't believe that, you just read the last two chapters of Revelation, and it's all good. It tells us just how good our God is. So if we make this world our destiny, we will only be sorrowful. There's no peace here, apart from the peace that Jesus gives. And in verse 27 of this chapter, Jesus says, "My peace I give you." I've preached on this to you before. He gives us his shalom, his peace, which is wonderful. A Christian has got the peace of God. And I'm differentiating between Christians and non-Christians. Not everybody that's born into this world is a Christian. By the way, not everybody that goes to church is a Christian. And not everybody who says, "I believe in God," is a Christian. You know, I shared with you before that God is the God of everybody in the world, but he is only the Father of those who believe. God is a God of everybody in the world, whether it be Muslims or Buddhists or Hindus or atheists or whatever they be. God is the God of them all. He created them all. But he is only the father of those who truly believe in Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter 1, as many as received Jesus, Jesus gave them the power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I've been given power to become a son of God. You are looking. Do you want to know what a Christian looks like? Keep looking. Well, you don't look like much. Doesn't matter. What I look on the outside, it's what's inside that matters. And do I know what a Christian looks like? I'm looking at a lot of you now. But maybe some of you are not. To become a Christian, all you've got to do is believe in Jesus Christ. You haven't got to try to be good to become a Christian because you're finished, if that's what you're thinking. If you think God is saying to you, if you are good, you can come to me, you won't ever come to him. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. You're no good, and you never will be without God. Come on. If there's something good about this world, it would have reached it by now. Come on. The world is not going on to perfection. I laugh at that word evolution, by the way. I laugh at it. Because the word evolution means to unfold unto perfection. It means it's a sense of like a bud or a flower unfolds to something beautiful. Am I seeing that in the world? Am I seeing the world unfolding to perfection? No way. There's more trouble in the world today than there's ever been. And do you know why there's more trouble in the world today than there's ever been? Because there's more people than there's ever been. Come on. It's true. It is the truth. Do you know where the problem is? It's within us, within the people. The problem is not with the cows and the sheep and the goats and the donkeys and the horses. It's not with your houses and your swimming pools and your chairs and your cars. That's not a problem. You are. I am. We are just problems. We just need help. And funny enough, people really know they need to help because today, because not only do we have a doctor, but a lot of people have psychiatrists, psychoanalysts, people to tell them, what's wrong with me? What is wrong with me? And you get psychoanalyzed and they tell you what's wrong with you. And they put this psycho tab on you and give you some sort of name. Don't listen too hard to that. If you really want to know what's wrong with you, go to the Bible. And it tells you. It doesn't give you a psycho tab. It tells you what you are. A sinner. A sinner. That's the problem with the world today. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I am a sinner. So if I think I can only get to God if I'm good, I ain't ever going to get there because I need help. I really need help. And the help comes from Jesus. He washes us from our sin. He cleanses us. And he gives us new life. There's no peace here apart from the peace that Jesus gives. We are born here. We live here. We were stamped with this world's DNA. All of you was. So don't ever look at sinners outside and stop, you know, looking down at them because you were stamped with the same DNA as they were. But for the grace of God, there go I. Christians aren't better than non-Christians because all were sinners. Christians are just saved. Hallelujah. Changed, transformed. Not better, but been saved by the grace of God. We had the DNA of this world upon us. We had it. We blended in. We thought the same. We acted the same. But not anymore. We have been redeemed, set free, rescued by the blood. We are still living here, though. That's the sad bit. We had the DNA, but we become Christians. But we're still living here. We're not in our home yet. We're not home yet. So when you start to complain and get upset, and you start to feel anxious and sorrowful, listen to that little voice saying to you, you're not home yet. You're still on the journey. You're still on the journey. Whenever you remain here, it doesn't matter how old you are, you're still on the journey. Isn't that right? She'll tell you. Been on the journey for a long, long time, this one has. And she's still on the journey. Praise God. We're not home yet, but one day we will be home. And if you expect perfection around you here, you're not listening to what I've said. Because we live in the world that has the DNA of sinfulness. Can't help it. It can't help itself. And it's tried. This world has tried so hard through philosophy, through poetry, through psychology, through psychiatry, through science. This world has tried so hard through education to better itself. And all it manages to do is improve its comforts. Nothing else. People still are the same. People fundamentally are no different today than they were when Jesus walked the earth. And he said to the disciples, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He saw the trouble, he saw the pain, he saw the anxiety, and he sees it today. In fact, we had a prophecy today about someone here. It's walking with their head bowed. You're like a weeping willow. You're down in the dumps. And maybe because, I don't know, because something's gone wrong in your life, or because you're looking around you and seeing, and you don't like what you see, and it makes you sad and upset, and it's because you're living in the world with the DNA of sinfulness. It doesn't get any better. It won't get any better. I wish I could say to you, the whole world is going to get saved. I'd love to tell you that, but the Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus said this. There are two roads. There's a broad road and there's a straight and narrow road. The broad road leads to a lost eternity, to hell. The straight and narrow road leads to life, and few are on that. Most are on the broad road. I'd love to say to you today, most people are going to get saved. They're not. Most people will not believe. Most people will not receive. Most people will keep on crucifying Jesus over and over again. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. So we are the redeemed of the Lord. And we want to take with us as many people as we can to the place where we're going to. Don't get anchors on your feet for this world. Because if you do, you're going to get so disappointed. Don't get lead feet that I want to stay here. Because the Lord doesn't want you to stay here. One day, you can hear the trumpet blast, the shout of the angel, and guess what? You'll be gone. And you won't be looking like you are now in a moment later. Everything that you have now, you can't take any of the stuff with you. You can't take your glasses with you. Isn't that wonderful? Because you can have new eyesight. Isn't that wonderful? Come on. Can't take your false teeth with you. You can have new teeth. Come on. Don't care whatever it is. You can't take, don't care how expensive your watch is. So don't get too expensive a watch. Because you've got to leave it behind. You won't suddenly go to heaven and that's, oh, look, I've still got my watch. It won't be there. Your shoes. They won't be there. Your house. It's gone. Your mortgage. You don't take it with you. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Come on. Your credit cards. Gone. You don't take any of those things with you at all. All you take with you is that what you are in Jesus. And those people that you can save. You can take other people with you. Have you got a parent that needs saving? A father, a mother, a brother, a sister? Have you got some auntie or uncle that needs saving? Some friend that you love so much that needs saving? Well, them you can take. You can work on them. Amen. That's what church is about, trying to get people to believe the same as us. But we know that when the time comes, when that trumpet blast sounds and the shout is there, then we leave all this behind. Don't get too attached to it. Who's old enough to remember that song that was sung by, I forget who sang it, this lady sang this song. If I can't take it with me when I go, I just ain't gonna go. Do you remember that? She was a wealthy lady singer. No, you don't. Well, I'm telling you. She sang this song. If I can't take it with me when I go, I just ain't gonna go. Well, she's gone. And she didn't take anything. And the truth is, we're all going to go. We're all going to go. You can't stay here forever. You are only here temporarily. Some of you have got a longer span than others. You know, if my life, if I was to say, you know, my life is, my life was starting off here. That's where I started, born 1941. And I finish over there. That wall is my life. Now, how far along do you think I am? I remember when I was just about this far along, and that never seemed possible. You know, I was young. 12 years old, 13 years old, 14 years. I've gone a bit further. Where do you think I am now? All of a sudden, halfway. That's all gone. I've only got that bit left. But I think it's a bit more than halfway, don't you? I'm 73. Where do you think I am? About here? Here? All that's gone. You young ones don't know what I'm talking about yet. Because you don't see this little span. You young ones are over here and you're thinking, I'm invincible. 70 will never come. Such a long, long way. We remember when we thought 70 was old. We used to think 50 was old. But 50 is young now, isn't it? So we're somewhere. Somewhere here, maybe? Some of you, my sister's a lot closer than I am. But this is a wonderful thing. You see, a non-Christian will say, I've got a shelf life. I can now really... When I went to... I retired, I went to Centrelink. And they were trying to work out my superannuation at Centrelink. This guy was sitting there writing. He said, okay, you have to have this paid out by your age 84. So I said, what do you mean 84? He said, well, that's the date we put on men for dying. I said, well, you've given me 84. I said, what do you mean you've given me 84? Well, that's what we reckon. You'll live to 84, men, and that's it. That's at Centrelink for you. I'm telling you the truth. So you know, you think, okay. There's a shelf life for non-Christians. But for me, look at this. When I get up to here, which could be death, whatever age that's going to be, I don't stop there. I carry on straight through. Amen. Hallelujah. Because there's no death to a Christian. But a passing through and leaving all this behind. Come on. Not only will I leave my coat, my shoes and my watch behind when I go, I leave my worries. I leave my doubts. I leave my insecurities. I leave my fears. I leave my sicknesses. Hallelujah. I leave them behind because that isn't the end for me. In fact, I want to tell you, it's just the beginning. See you later. It's a far better place where we're going to. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus says. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. Because in my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to go and prepare a place and I'm coming back to take you to be with me. Now, I was just talking about this natural line, lifeline. But what if he interrupts that? What if he came back today? you young people have had it as well. If he comes back today, that is the end for everybody on earth today. Everybody. That will be the end. That will be time finished as we know it. And many who don't know Jesus will go to a lost eternity. But those of us who know him will go on to a far, far better place than this. A place of security. A place of fulfillment. A place of total joy, total peace. Absolute total security, where never again will a credit card be needed. Never again will you have to look into a mirror and get your makeup out. Never again will ever that ever have to happen. There will be a sense of peace, fulfillment, and we will be working with the Lord on new creations to come. It's going to be wonderful. Praise God. You're not home yet. What are you going through? Some tough times? Well, let me just tell you something. Just to encourage you Christians. What is the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian? What is the difference? What is it about a Christian that's different? Why would you want to be a Christian? I'll tell you why. Because number one, Christians are forgiven. Whoa. Did you hear that? Christians are forgiven no matter what we've done. No matter how low we've sunk, Christians are forgiven. Their sins are washed away. Can you say praise the Lord? A bit louder than that? Yeah, your sins, by the way, don't say that in sort of spiritual ways. Well, I'm not a real sinner anyway. Yes, you was. You was a dirty, rotten, stinking, low-life sinner that all you deserved was the wrath of God. Don't talk to me like that. I'm telling you what the Bible says, that's all. It's, I didn't make that up. That's the word of God. All have sinned. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. He says we're all liars, we're vipers. Oh, it goes on. But he then forgives us. So what is a Christian? Forgiven. Everybody say forgiven. Forgiven. Everybody say, I am forgiven. Do you feel it? Isn't it good? Amen. When I was a kid at school, I had such a bad reputation. In the school I went to, the high school, I got the record for getting the most amount of canes from the headmaster. I got a record, though other kid got as many as I did. And it used to hurt. When he used to cane me for all sorts of things. I took it on me that I was going to smoke in every single classroom in the school, and I did. And then the last one, they caught me, and I got caned for that. I got caned for splitting a lad's mouth open with a wooden mallet to throw at him. I got caned for spearing the fish in the science lab. We used to have pens in those days, not biro. Do you remember the pens in ink? And they had sharp. Well, I used to use them as spears to spear the. I got caned for so many things. And I remember once, just before I left school, I forget what I'd done wrong. Anyway, I'd done something. The teacher sent me to the headmaster's office. Gone wait outside the office, Warwick. So go wait outside the office. And when the headmaster used to cane you, what he used to do, you'd go into his office and he'd move his desk, then he'd get these canes and he'd try them. Do you remember those? Some of you remember? And they say, now bend down and touch your toes. And he'd take a flying run at you and whack! And you get six of them, I tell you, you can't sit down for a week. And this, I know school's not like that today. I know I'm going back a couple of years. But he said, so I'm waiting outside. I'm 15, just about ready to leave school, and I'm ready for another caning. I think, oh, not another one. And I hated it. And the headmaster came out, looked at me, said, Warwick, not you again. Yes, sir. Who sent you this dumb? So what have you done? So. He looked at me. He said, you deserve a good caning, don't you? I said, yes, sir. He said, oh, I can't be bothered. Go away. I thought, the sense of relief. I walked back to the classroom and I could sit down. I got a sense of relief. That's forgiveness. When God forgives you, there's a sense of relief. Oh, God, thank you. You're not going to punish me for that lie, for stealing, for doing the things that I did. You're not going to punish me. Wow, thank you. What a sense of relief I have. Do you know? Isn't forgiveness wonderful? Amen. Do you remember Jesus told about the woman who had been forgiven and she was crying? And he said, that woman is weeping like that because she loves me much, because much has been forgiven. And we've all got a lot that's been forgiven. Let me just take a look at you. Yeah. I can see them. Yeah, thank God, Lord, for forgiving them. Pretty horrific, some of the things they've been up to, but you've forgiven them. So a Christian's forgiven. A Christian possesses peace. A Christian possesses joy. A Christian possesses the love of God. And a Christian possesses eternal life. You are looking at a man that is indestructible. Isn't it wonderful to know that that eternal life does not start when you get to heaven, it starts now. Do you hear me? You can't be killed if you're a Christian. There's not a bomb been invented big enough to destroy you or me. We might fall asleep in the flesh, the body might get blown apart, but so what? You're not dead. They can't destroy your spirit and your soul. That is eternal in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you've got that. I've got that. We all have that. Praise God. Because Jesus has redeemed us, he wants us to follow him. He does not want us troubled. He does not want us sorrowful. He does not want us fearful. The world has a limited life. It is coming to a close. Our home is in heaven. We've got to keep on trusting. Keep on believing. Because we're not home yet. But although I'm not home, I can have a little bit of Jesus down here while I live. I'm on a journey. I can choose that this journey will be a good one or a miserable one. I could choose whether I'm going to have a joyful journey or a sorrowful one. See, the person that God spoke to this morning about having your head hung low, you got a choice. Are you going to choose to be like that? Are you going to choose to say no? The joy of the Lord is my strength. As we heard, he's the glory and the lifter of my head. I choose to walk in joy. I choose to walk in the glory of God, not in what is happening around me in this wicked world that's full of sorrow and pain. In fact, I want God to give us all, myself included, a love for this world that Jesus had. When Jesus saw the crowds, it said on one occasion, he saw all these people, it says, and he saw them, he says he had compassion on them because, he says, they were harassed by the devil, a sheep without a shepherd. Oh, they had all different beliefs, but they had no shepherd. They had different masters, and different lords over them, different religion, but no shepherd to really care for them. We've got the good shepherd. His name is Jesus. Are you glad you're saved? No, come on, are you glad you're saved? No, are you really glad you... Sometimes we need to get to grassroots and just say, God, where am I today? Well, I'm saved. I've got your joy, I've got your peace, I've got eternal life, I've got forgiveness. I've got a home in heaven that's going to be absolutely glorious. But down here, I'm facing a lot of problems, a lot of difficulties, but God, give me a love for people. Don't let me hate people. Don't let me become embittered against people. Don't let me become unforgiving to people. Give me a loving, caring, forgiving heart. That I will walk in this life. And I don't know where I am, Lord, on that lifeline. As Pastor John was talking, it's a lot of fun. He was talking with a bit of a laugh about it. But the truth is, Lord, I don't know whether I'm here. I don't know whether I'm here. I don't know. I can't say what tomorrow will bring. So on that lifeline, I don't know where I am. But I know at the moment I am here. And should I wake up in heaven, what a glorious thing that will be. But Lord, right now, I'm on the journey. And I want to enjoy this journey. I want this journey to be good. On this journey, I want to give my life to you. On this journey, I want to follow you wherever you go. And on this journey, I want to love for other people. Amen? Who'd like to be happy all the time? Hands up if you would. Come on. Who wants to be happy? Some of you haven't got your hands up. You don't want to be happy all the time. Some of you want to be miserable. you probably already are then, because you didn't put your hand up. Some of you can't differentiate between happiness and misery. There is a happiness in Jesus. Come on, there is. You really, in your heart, want two things. You want peace and you want joy. You want happiness. You want that. Of course you do. There'd be something wrong with you, mentally wrong, if you didn't. You want it. Well, the Bible tells us that he's given us his joy and he's given us his peace. Hallelujah. So you've got it. Well, you might be saying, whoa. I haven't. The devil's took it from me. No, he didn't. Do you know the devil can't take away your joy and peace? It's given to you. But you can mislay it. I mean, I told you this before. You know, how many people have ever lost their car keys? Anybody ever done that? Hands up if you lost your car. Let's be honest. Come on. Yes, that's a lot more hands now. You've lost your car keys. Now, you didn't have them stolen. You put them probably in a safe place. So safe you lost them. What is the difference between having something stolen and losing it? Nothing to you. Nothing to you. It's the same consequences. Your joy can't be stolen by the devil, but you can misplace it. You can so take it lightheartedly that it's not that important. And you can misplace your joy and your peace in Jesus. And I've got a feeling today that that's what God is saying to some of you. Come on. You got that joy. I gave it you. Now you start to use it. You got that peace. You start to use it. Because I love you. Hallelujah. I'm looking today at a lot of people here who are really loved by God. I also sense in my spirit there's somebody here that knows there's things in their spirit that are wrong. That you've actually failed God. And you've really let him down. And you know it. And in fact, if Jesus was to turn up right now, you'd be a bit embarrassed. Because you've not confessed your sin. You know you're really not forgiven. And Jesus is saying to you today, I really do want to forgive you. I really want to wash you from your sin. I want to forgive you. I want you to go out of this place knowing that you're forgiven, knowing that you're cleansed, and knowing that you're right with me. I just feel God's talking to somebody here. I don't know who. But if that's you, if there's somebody here that will say to me, oh, Pastor John, I'd like you to move on from this point because this is a bit painful for me. Because yes, I've got things in my life that I know are wrong. And yeah, I know I'm not confessing them to God. Well, why don't you ask God to forgive you just now? Why don't you let me say a prayer for you just now? If you really want to be forgiven. This is the time because God brought me here. I'm bringing this message that I really believe is from God. If you know there's things in your heart that are not right. Can I say a prayer for you just now? I'd like to do that. I don't want to embarrass you. I should come out the front. I won't do that. But can I see a hand? If you just put your hand up, I know you want me to pray for you. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, God bless you. Anybody else? Yeah, God bless you, brother. Thank you. Who else? I want to pray for you. Don't go out of this place same as you came in. You've got to be changed. The blood of Jesus changes. There's somebody else. I just sense it in my spirit. Somebody else. Who hasn't put the hand up. But you know you need to. And maybe you're a bit shy because you think, well, what other people think of me? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what people think. It matters what he thinks. Is there anyone else that I can include in this prayer? I'm going to pray right now. If it's you, please put your hand up. Come on. Don't hold back. You don't know what this day is going to bring. But you need to go out here forgiven and cleansed. One more time, I'm going to ask and I'm going to pray. Okay, do you want to join with all those who raise their hand? Do it just now if you do. Okay, then, Father, I pray for every person that raised their hand. I pray that the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, will wash and cleanse them right now from sin. You will forgive them and cleanse them. And Holy Spirit, you will fill them and give them the strength that they need to overcome the problems in their life. those things that easily beset them, those sins that come upon them, Lord, give them the strength. We bind the enemy in the name of Jesus. We come against satanic influence. We bind it, Lord, and I pray that people will be set absolutely free in the glorious name of Jesus. And I want to pray for the person whose head is bowed. You've heard this message right in line with that prophecy. If that's you, if that resonated in your heart when your pastor, she read that beautiful scripture that is the glory and the lift of your head. You've come in here maybe because of difficulties, burdens, needs around you. I don't know why your head is hung low and you're not feeling joy. But let me pray for you just now. And as I pray, be released in the name of Jesus. Father, for that person who's coming to this place with a maybe even a broken heart, a bowed head, Lord, I pray they will receive right now all that you have for them. Lord, that they will know that you are their glory and the lifter of their head. Lord, they will lift their head to you, that you will right now strengthen them, encourage them right now, and grant them that beautiful crown of beauty, Lord, instead of ashes. I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, let me just ask this as I close, as I finish. Let me ask this. You know you're not home yet, okay? But never lose sight of home. It's always there. Don't ever lose that. Don't ever let this world so squash you that you lose the sight of one day you'll be home. You may say, but John, I've done this for the Lord. I've done that for the Lord. This didn't go right. That didn't go right. I got disappointed here. I'm disappointed at work. John, there's so many things I look at and it's so disappointing. People don't appreciate me. I'm not appreciated in the home. I'm not appreciated at work, not appreciated at school. People don't appreciate me. But let me just tell you this. You're not home yet. And Jesus appreciates you. And the angels will appreciate you. And the day will come when you'll go into glory and there will be a loud shout of joy because you've made it. And Jesus will look you in the eye and say, well done, well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord because you're not home yet, but one day you will be. God bless you all. Thank you.